Fabulous. I got a red light. I mean, it dying. Due to technical difficulties, wait 1 second. I have a green light. It's good to see everyone that's here this morning, and for those of you that got to tune in to the very first message, my loving brother told me, he said that he knew he was in trouble after I hadn't got through the first paragraph, and we were still on the first point. And even started the first point, he goes, this is going to be a long sermon. Good thing it was studied. Let's take our Bibles, let's go to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I don't know how many of you all realize this, but Psalms is one of the first books that was actually put together as a collection. And there are so many things that are in the Psalms that are amazing. In fact, I've titled the sermon this morning, The First Book of Collections. The first book of collections. No, I have no intention of preaching every psalm, especially when you get to Psalms chapter 119, because there's just so much that is there. And you know, if you ever go into Psalms chapter 119 and realize that what is written is for the catechism of children and for your catechism as well, and it's all about the Word of God. And you break it down, and if you'll notice that if you have a good presentation of the psalm, above each section is a Hebrew letter. So the first eight verses are preceded by Aleph, and then followed by Beth, followed by, you know, Gamaliel, and so on and so forth. But the reality is that it teaches us that each point has something specific for us to learn. So you can take eight verses and really see that they are unified together in their instruction. Well, I was thinking about this today as I was preparing for the sermon, and it's basically a message of integrity. And so if you look at Psalms chapter 1, there's a song that we used to sing that goes right along in line with all six verses. And don't ask me to sing because I can't remember the melody at this moment, but I remember Brother Dallas Lloyd and my sons would sing it together. And it's just a very catchy little tune. And so notice what it says beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for your blessings, and I pray that you will bless as we look at this psalm today. Lord, whether it's a long sermon or short sermon or whatever you have for us, let us rightly divide the word of truth, let us hide it in our heart, and may we grow as you would see for us to grow. And I pray, Father, that you will bless. I want to thank you for all the opportunities that we have to pray. Lord, we want to thank you for those that are here, and I pray, Father, that you will just continue to bless and direct us. May we find the sincere sweetness of truth. And Lord, may we take the word of God and rightly divide it so that we might not only learn from it, but that we might grow from it, and that we might be a better people because of it. So lead us and bless and direct now. And help me, Father, as I, not only as I preach, but may the Holy Spirit take the message and carry it as he would see fit. For it's in Christ we pray, and amen. I don't know about you, but I really appreciate Greg and Randy and everyone that leads in the music. that they take time to really search out the music and to make sure that it follows along Scripture. And the reality is that there are so many songs that we love the melody of it, but when you go back and study Scripture, they have nothing to do with it, okay? And how many of you have ever heard of the song, Lord Jesus, Kick Me Through the Goalpost of Life? Anyone ever heard that song? There is a song like that, and some churches have sung that, Oh Lord Jesus, just kick me through. And I'm going, why would I want the Lord to kick me through the goalpost? How many of you ever heard the song, Just Build Me a Cabin in the Corner of Glory Land? How many of you ever heard that song? Yeah. How many of you know it's not scriptural? Why would the Lord want to put you a cabin when he's already promised you a mansion? You know, a place where, and by the way, the scripture doesn't say that he's going to build us all a mansion. It says that he has prepared a place for us in his Father's mansions. Okay? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. Well, the Psalms are one of those things that we can sing to each other. And understand this, is that in times past, when they would sing a song, you would have the person that would be in the front, and he would sing out a song, and then the people would repeat the melody. It was called canting, and a lot of that happened a lot of times in the past, and it was always very sweet to do so. But in the message of the psalm is more than just song or music. There's also the divine message that we all need to adhere. I love artists like Michael Card. I don't know if you've ever heard of Brother Michael Card. In fact, what was funny is he does an annual cruise to where he has gospel music that he sings. A lot of the music that he has written, one of the most beautiful songs that I have ever heard him sing was one called, "And You Know, How Can It Be?" And he goes, how can it be this baby in my arms sleeping now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how can it be? And basically he takes the thought of Joseph holding the baby and, you know, singing in that song. And it's just a beautiful song in the way that he points it out. Plus, he did a song on Jubilee, speaking of the deliverance that was going to occur every 50 years in the Jubilee deliverance. So Michael Card is very good, and other artists like him, that would take the message of the Psalms or the message of the Bible and put it to words. Something that we can sing to and that we can enjoy it as well. Well, I have discovered something about true music when it comes from the Word of God. It can also be inspiring, but it can also be convicting. And that's what I want to look at today, is both sides of it, is how that we should be convicted, but also rejoice over the good that the Lord brings. So we're going to start this morning with this message by first looking at integrity versus corruption. Now in verse 1 it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, what's interesting is we just did a full month where we did 31 days with the Lord back in the month of March. And we read the different aspects day by day. We're taking one chapter of the Proverbs, and we enjoyed what it had to say. Now, the reality is that there is an imploring of the Son from the Father that said, don't do these things, do these things. Now, the reality is that don't go parade in front of the harlot's house. Don't sit there and argue with a fool. You know, it's like this, is that if you argue with a fool, which one's the fool? No one really knows, because it's an argument that occurs. But the reality is keep your peace and understand where you're at and what you're doing. I love what James Dobson talked about in the description of integrity. And what Jobson said in integrity is, what you do in private will tell you the integrity of an individual. So if you're traveling, as many of you all know, I do a lot of traveling. And yet when I travel and I go into a motel room, I'm normally so beat, I just hit the pillow and I go out like a lamp. And the reality is that people said, how can you do that? Well, I'm tired. But there's a lot of times, especially like if you go to a motel or whatever and they offer all kinds of stuff on TV, is the integrity a part of you in such a way that you're not going to go and let your eyes strain upon things that you shouldn't see? In fact, one of the things that I have often noticed is that in our world today, we have so much pornography and things that are available, and they're easily available. You don't have to go that far to find them. And so if you have a computer, if you have a cell phone, whatever you might have, all of these things are an open window, not only for the benefit of us to preach the Word of God, but also for others to find things. And also, I want to say this, be careful what goes in your ear. There's a lot of times I will start an earworm, you know, for my sons to enjoy the whole day. I can give you one right now. I'm not going to. You already have one. But the reality is that melody that sticks with you. Well, there's two things that happen. Have you ever saw something you wish you had not seen and it burns in your mind and you can't get your mind off of it? Have you heard something that you should not hear and you listen to it and it just stays with you all day long? That is the attack of integrity against yourself and also causes you to walk astray from the things that are there. So the reality is, and this is what we see in this verse. Notice it says, do not walk, and I'm just going to paraphrase with my statement. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I know that we have so many people that are around us that they're arguing all the time about this or that. Carla and I were talking about yesterday how that in Washington, D.C., we have all these people that are screaming out and wanting to attack the Supreme Court justices and everyone else, and these are people that are in favor of abortion. Now, wait a minute, folks. You mean you want the right to kill and not give any answer to what you're wanting to do? You know, I like this, is that I rejoiced over every one of my children as they were being in the womb of their mother. I would literally put my hands upon them. I couldn't wait for them to kick. And sometimes I would provoke them into kicking my hand, okay? And that's why they still fight to this day. But the reality is that I wanted to feel the life in that child. Nothing is more sad to me than to hear that there is someone that doesn't want a baby. And they would rather kill the baby than allow that baby to be given up for adoption. And there are many people all across the country. I may mention in the earlier service of Brother Clint Keith and his wife. They went through the foster care system, and they had a little girl that they raised up from the very beginning. And I know Brother Clint wouldn't mind me saying this. But this little girl had been from such an abusive situation at home that she couldn't even handle living in a real house. And the moment that they finally got her to where she could function and live correctly in their home, here came the government and said, well, we're going to give her back to her mother and father. They put her back with her mom and dad, and within weeks, she reverted back to where she was, and then they finally came back and said, if you really want her, you can have her. They had to start all over again. There is something wrong to where people are allowed to misuse and abuse children, and we're going to stand behind those parents and allow that abuse to occur, and yet loving families who want children are not allowed to have them. Well, I bring all this up because the counsel of the ungodly says, we're only doing this for your good. How many of you have ever heard of, do you realize, and I'll just say this, in the medical community, every time that a baby is lost in the womb, it is coded as an abortion. And what makes that very scary, and the reason I know this, is that when I worked in the medical community, especially I worked for Christian Care Ministry, and we used the same code. Many times they would say, well, here's the code they would have to use. And if you looked up that code, it said aborted. There is something that happens naturally in the body when a baby dies. The body has to get rid of it. They have what they call a tubular pregnancy, where the baby is up in the tube, and it could, if the baby was able to live very long, it could kill the mother. But the reality is that instead of saying the baby was lost due to a failed pregnancy or something like this, they code everything to a very despicable title called abortion. What makes that so hard in the medical community is because even like in Christian communities, we see that word abortion, we immediately go, what did that child do? What did that person do? We're all suspicious of that term. So when I think of this ungodliness, we are allowing the world to give words and to underline the meaning of words, and suddenly we have to adopt them for ourselves. My grandson came up to me one day and he said, Grandpa, do you think we ought to take the rainbow back? I said, what do you mean take the rainbow back? He said, well, you know, I said, I've never given up the rainbow. I said, God placed the rainbow in the sky, not to say that I agree with homosexuality. He put the rainbow in the sky to give a promise to Noah and his family that he would never destroy the entire world again by waters, by a great flood. I said, that is a promise from God. And if somebody else wants to claim it for something else, they're... What do they mean by that? No, the real meaning of the word gay means I'm happy. How many of you have ever heard the song, My Own? I'm now off of it. But to sit wherever or listen to the counsel of the ungodly will frustrate Christians. And if you are a righteous person, nothing frustrates you more than to hear all this stuff that goes out there. How many of y'all remember, and I'm sure that most of the people here today, listen and heard about Rittenhouse? Remember when the trial came down that they're trying this young man and they said that he was a killer and he was doing this, that, and the other because he stood up against three individuals that were trying to take his life. And everybody on media, I'm talking about Whoopi Goldberg, I'm talking about LeBron James and everyone else, they were accusing this young man of killing people out of spite. Yet when they brought this one person that he had attacked and shot, he said, well, that was our intention to kill him. So he was acquitted. And now he has the right to go back and sue these individuals for slander. Kind of a little bit of a joke. They just ruled against LeBron James. He lost $110,000 to Mr. Rittenhouse because of that slander charge. But once again, we are a subject and we are a people that we are setting in the council of ungodliness. Look what else it says. Blessed is the man that walketh or that setteth, that standeth not in the way of sinners. You remember when the Lord said, Peter, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me three times. Where was Peter at? He was warming his hands by sinners. He was warming his hands. And I'm going to tell you what. There is more strength when you are standing in the path or when you are standing in the congregation of saints than you are when you're standing with sinners. Because when you're with sinners, unless you're there to evangelize and preach the word of God to them, you're going to find the pull. You see, Peter also was subject to that. The third one is sitting in the seat of scornfulness. Now, we don't use the word scorn as much today, but, you know, we also fall in this trap. How many of us complain about everything? No, don't raise your hands. Because the reality is, I will tell you this, I don't like the price of gas right now. And I even said this to my son right now. I don't think that if we had a World War III, I do not think that we could handle it as a country. And I don't think we have the strength or the abilities to handle a World War III or rationing or anything else. Why don't I think we have that ability? Because the very fact is that we don't see the desire of heart or the strength of heart to be able to continue on. Scorn means that in spite of what God has given, we're going to be scornful. Do you realize that everything we're seeing right now is still in God's control? I don't like the price of gas. I don't. But God is in control. I know that we have, you know, when we hear people, they say, well, we believe that this happened or we believe that that happened. Well, wait a minute. Do you really believe God is in control? I was talking to a southern gentleman one time, and he goes, you know, really, the South won that war. I said, I disagree with you. He goes, and here he is. He's a strong, staunch Baptist individual. He goes, what do you mean? The South, God's plan for the South to win the war, the South would have won. I said, so for what you're saying is God was wrong. He never talked to me again. Don't scorn the plan of God because God can make things even harder. The reality is integrity is one to where I look and I'll say, I want to distance myself from that. How can I maintain my integrity? How can I make sure that I focus on that which is right? And part of that is I really want to delight myself in the Lord. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's integrity. Let me show you this as well. Turn with me. Hold your place here. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And I want to show you how that we should be as a people full of integrity. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, is that not integrity? Understanding the will of the Lord. And be not drunk with wine, but wherein is access, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And the reality is that there should be a natural joy that comes up from within because I have seen the joy of the Lord in my life and I want others to know about it. But here's the rest of the story. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. Now watch this. We realize that in everything we do in this life, we're going to face the questions of the world. And in facing the questions of the world, people are going to say all the time to us, well, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about that? What are you doing about the other? The reality is that if I was to answer them according to the Word of God, where else can they go? I should speak to them in a psalm, notice, and hymns, and spiritual songs. Can you imagine this? Good morning, Greg. How are you today? No, I'm not going to do that to my brother. But the reality is, in communication... You liked that, didn't you? But you know what? Some of Greg's like, don't ever do that again. But anyway, the reality is that if I'm going to lift each other up in song, there should be a melody in my heart. You know, there's nothing more joyful than to see your brothers, your sisters, and others in Christ and to rejoice in the connection that is there. Why should I want the world to enjoy this church if we can't enjoy each other? Are you listening? How can I expect the world to come in and enjoy if we don't enjoy each other? You understand this is that integrity is a delight in the law of the Lord. Love one another. How can you say you love God whom you have not seen if you don't love the brother you have seen? That's law. The reality is that loving the Lord is something that is special, and it is demonstrated over and again by the grace of God. So the second part is, we should meditate. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's one area that is missed by a lot of people when they read this particular verse. You see, a tree that is planted by the water is actually going to benefit from spring rains. Now, I don't know about you all, but every now and then, having grown up in this Ohio Valley and watching the Ohio River, a lot of times it gets up. And when the river gets up, have you ever noticed how muddy it looks?
And where does it go? It goes into all the creeks and it swells its banks and things like that. But have you ever noticed that the foliage, where that water has now creeped out, has gotten thicker and richer and better? So I want you to think about this for a moment. A tree that is planted by the water is given the nutrients that are in the water. A friend of mine does what they call aquaponics. And he raises plants that on nothing but a waterbed. And one of the ways that he does this is that he has a big tank of tilapia. And these, I mean, it's just these fish eat and digest and whatever else they got to do. And then they take that water and they filter it and they put it through these big troughs of water. It's all natural. The plants, and he raises primarily lettuce, and he puts this into a tray, and it's just got a few little leaves in it. And the next thing you know, it grows, and as each one of the trays grows in, it takes so many days, and it grows these beautiful, healthy, organic, leafy plants. And I looked at that, and I said, explain this process. He goes, it's natural, and it's healthy. He said, all in this tank is nutriments. Have you ever thought about this, that in our waterways are nutriments? But what does a plant need? A plant needs nutriments, it needs water, and it needs sunlight. So when it says that a plant is planted by the water, it is literally absorbing everything it needs to be rich and to be full. And what's its fruit going to be like? It's going to be the best fruit there is because it's receiving the best water, it's receiving the best nutrients, and it's receiving all the sunlight. Do you realize what we feed upon is going to make all the difference in the world? I brought a little example to show you what I'm talking about. Yes, show and tell time. Now, I know that this is a decaf pot, but use your imagination. The reality is, let's say that that's your flesh. Now you realize that where our flesh is concerned, the more that we feed the flesh, the contents inside are going to get smaller and smaller. So let's say that the content inside is the Holy Spirit that is inside of you. Do you realize you have all the Holy Spirit that you will ever need because you are redeemed? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you not redeemed? Does the Holy Spirit not live in you? But which one do you feed? Do you feed the spiritual nature of yourself or do you feed the bodily part of yourself? They'll give you the test. Hold your place here. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 5 for a moment. Galatians chapter 5. We already know this. We probably have hit it many times, but look what it says. In Galatians chapter 5, go down to verse 16 and notice what it says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, it didn't say the old man, does it? We're feeling the lust of the flesh. Do you know that every one of us prefer to feed the flesh than we do the raiment? I looked the other day, and I looked in the mirror and went, man, I put on a lot of weight. Evidently, I've really been feeding the flesh. But how many of us ever looked at it? I got more wrinkles. I was so happy the other day when I went to the barber. Yes, I went to the barber, and she goes, oh, you got such nice hair. Thank you. She goes, why don't you want to cut it shorter? She said, I know you want all the women to like your hair. I went, I just like having hair on my head because I don't want a baldness on my head. But it's funny that the world only sees the deeds of the flesh. But look what it says. But if you bite and devour one another, verse 15, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Go down to verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest in these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the flesh. So why do we feel the need to feed the flesh? Because we want to go contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I heard this the other day, and you know, someone made this statement. They said that they heard that we are to focus more on the fruit of the Spirit than the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of people that they want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, which are things that God has blessed us with. Gifts of, you know, sometimes I've met people that they have a wonderful ability of conversing in tongue. And you say, what do you mean by tongue? Brother Rodney Spears knows Spanish. He knows German. He knows Tagalog. I mean, literally, he can listen to a language in 30 days, know all of it. A tremendous ability. I believe that is a gift that's given by God. But at the same time, I'm not speaking of the what people want to call supernatural gifts. If you really want to focus upon what the Spirit has given, then focus upon these things. And notice again what it says to us here. These are the things that we should focus upon, which are very simple. We should look at love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And if we have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust, then we only feed upon the Spirit. So let me give you an example. So I have here a clear glass. And if I crucify the flesh, then that which is in me goes to overflowing. Has the contents that were in the pot changed? What has happened is the flesh has changed. If we want to grow spiritually, then we have to see a demolishing, if you will, or a beating down of the flesh, and that which was in us will now overflow. You get it? And the more we bring it down, the more we bring down the flesh, the greater the volume that is inside of us will overflow. Does that not make sense when it says, my cup runneth over in the book of Psalms, chapter 23? Because why is it overflowing? I have crucified the flesh. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The more that I crucify the flesh, the more that he which lives within me grows powerful and more powerful. When I go into the community, what is the work of the flesh? But they cannot kill the spirit that is within me. Why? Because I am his. When I become fearful over death or anything else, it's because I'm not leaning towards the things of God and his Spirit. I'm dealing more Polycarp was one of the great martyrs that occurred. And they promised him, they said, either deny Christ. Because of his testimony, we have our Bibles in our hands. Do you realize that William Tyndale raised his hands before God in the burning flames and said, oh Lord, you have a Bible in your hand because of the prayer of William Tyndale. That's integrity. That's beating down the flesh. And the reality is that in many times we don't want to meditate on what is best for us. So when God has planted me, where did he plant me? He planted me by the stream of living water. And do you realize there's even more? You know, there's things that we don't even imagine because we have gotten away from this book. Let me show you an example. Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. I forget the name of the commander right now who did this. I think his last name was Maury. But anyway, he was very, very sick and dying. And one day, he asked his wife just to read the Bible to him, and she read to him Psalms chapter 8. Now, mind you, he was a naval officer in the 1800s, American naval officer. And she read to him, "The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas." And suddenly he sat up and he goes, "Read that again." She read that same verse again. He goes, "Read it again." He said, "I've got to get well." And she goes, "Why do you got to get well?" He said, "I've got to find the paths of those seas," which meant the current paths. How many of you realize that the same nautical charts that he created back in the 1800s are still in use today? Because he went looking for the paths of the sea. You never heard that, have you? And yet, no matter how you look at it, the plan of God is rich and full, and if we would just listen, there are things that we can't even comprehend that God is ready to show us from his word. Yet we don't want to follow the completeness of it. You follow me? And it all begins by crucifying the flesh. How many of us have ever caught ourselves saying, "Well, millions of years ago"? There were no millions of years ago. Everything about our universe and all that we know about space declares that this is a young earth, but we have bought into a pleasure of the flesh. Remember what I said? Don't stand in the way of the scorners. Don't walk in the paths of the unrighteous. Do you realize that even Darwin, which everybody wants to go after, couldn't even agree with his own philosophies? He died saying, "Everything I wrote is a lie." Oh, but you don't want to hear that, do you? Isn't it amazing? God created the cardinal. Have you ever seen a cardinal breed with a bluebird? There's the martins. There's the sparrows. All of these different birds, and yet they stay in their species. How marvelous is our God? How marvelous. The final point I have is found beginning in verse 4. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The day is going to come when the Lord shall catch us all up and call us home. A lot of people are saying this to me right now, "What do you think is going on with Russia? How is this falling in line with the Bible?" I know this, that God's got a plan, and he's going to see it through. And whether Ukraine is part of that plan and its destruction, I don't know. But God is going to draw Russia into Israel. How do I know that? Read Ezekiel. But even more so, the thought that is there, it should not be that I'm focusing on all of this world, but I should be focusing on Christ. You know, when I see someone, I should not be afraid to say, "Well, I praise God for his goodness to me." I'm going to share something with you. I was driving home, you know, going down through the West Virginia mountains. That could be pretty treacherous. You got hills and curves, and I don't always drive like the most sane of individuals. I have a tendency of going a little faster through the mountains than maybe I should. And I got all the way down. I'm driving my little pickup truck, and everything's going good. Well, I turn off all the way down into Florida, and I turn on Highway 301. And when I did this, suddenly the truck just bumped. I went, "Man," I said, "I didn't realize there was that much wind out here." And I just kept going on down the road, and everything was going good. Then I had another bump. I went, "Where's that wind coming from?" It wasn't wind at all. It was the bearing on the front driver's side that was going out. And pretty soon I'm just driving down the road. I'm about 30 minutes from the house, and suddenly, and I thought I was going to lose it. And by praise God, there was not another vehicle around me. I was able to get the car off the road, and here's the tire leaning on the side. Now, most people might say, "Man, I can't run." I said, "Thank you, Lord. You know why I was thankful?
That will didn't do that in West Virginia mountains with me driving like a fool.
Or coming down I-77, when you come down that mountain road, when you're coming down into the valley of North Carolina. It didn't happen then either. I probably would have checked out two or three of those sand lots that goes up the hill, you know, what they call runaway vehicles. But the reality is, God watched over me. Did he have to? No. Did he decide to? Yes. And when I can tell someone, praise God for his goodness to me, even when my car breaks down, should be a sign to others. Why do you see the praise? God's not done with me yet. And if you're still upon this earth, he's not done with you yet either, if you have been called by his marvelous grace. And that is the joy that we all should have at this moment. The day is going to come when we're going to stand in righteousness, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, that one belongs to me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, and to a hell prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. That should bother us to no end. Let me ask you, have you ever had to watch someone die that you failed to realize and failed to witness to? I have. I was a young airman in the United States Air Force Station at Spangdahlem Air Force Base. And I had a kidney stone hit me bad. First kidney stone I ever had. I'm at Hahn Air Force Base, and they had admitted me. And the night that they admitted me, the young man that had worked underneath me from Berea, Kentucky, and I don't remember his name, I just remember where he was from, had been thrown out a third-story window and landed on his head and died. And he never knew Christ. Now, we could all turn around and say, well, according to the election of God, but I never witnessed to him. I never told him about Christ. And that has bothered me ever since. Can you imagine the day comes when the Lord said, Mike, come over here and escort this young man to the gates of hell because you didn't witness to him. You see why we should be so serious? There should be a joy in our voice that we can tell others of Christ. And there's nothing like leading a newborn to Christ. Pretty soon Greg and Carla are going to be rejoicing, and we're going to all rejoice together as a family as Kinder brings a little one into this world. We're going to be joyful. But there's a greater joy when the phone rings and that little one says, Papa, I now know Jesus is my Savior. I was teaching Sunday school class when I received word that Kennedy was saved. The joy of salvation. I remember when Kristen was saved and the message how she was saved. And I'll tell you what, I don't care what time of night it is, you call me and I'll be rejoicing with you. I'll get out of my bed and we'll start having a dance right then and there. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Godly integrity is when we turn our face away from the things of this world and we focus on the joy of the Lord. How's your integrity? Have you crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof? The spirit that is in you, is it greater than the flesh that surrounds you? Father, again, I want to thank you for your time, and I pray, Lord, that the message that has been delivered today may be a blessing for all to hear. I know this, Lord, is that we have a need as a congregation. We have a need, Father, to always enjoy the things of God. May we take these things and hide them in our heart So, Lord, as we conclude in this service, I pray that you will bless us, that you will use us, and that you will care for us. Lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Greg, do you have a closing song?